So if you're new to Vertical Church, if it's your first Sunday, I want to introduce myself. My name's Philip. I'm the pastor here at the church. On behalf of our team, I just want to welcome you. I'm so excited that you're here at Vertical Church today. And we're praying that God speaks into your life, that you've shown up, whether you're online or in a movie theater in Hiawassee or here in Morganton, that God is going to speak into your life today. And today's message, we're in a series called I Feel That. And the idea behind this is our emotions and our thoughts and our feelings can actually affect how we pray. It can affect how we see God. It can affect how we interact with other people. It can actually have a really profound effect on our relationship with Jesus. And so let's talk about him. And so this message is the reason that months ago I felt led to do this series, I Feel That. Today we're going to talk about anxiety and depression. We're going to talk specifically about, does that make you a bad Christian if you're struggling with anxiety and depression? Because here's the thing, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm someone who loves history. Some of you know that about me. I love history. And I think if you go back, and especially in this country, and study, when things start to rise in our society, it also usually has a direct correlation with the church's inability to have a healthy conversation about whatever's going on. And I'm not saying that to condemn the church, but I just think we've been really silent when it comes to anxiety and depression. Maybe it's because as churches, we don't really know how to have that conversation. We don't really know how does this tie in with our walk with Jesus. I think sometimes inside of Christianity, when it comes to maybe things like mental health, we just don't really know what to say, and so we don't say anything. But then the things continue to grow in society when the church maybe remains silent, or we don't know really how to engage. And so today I want us to talk about anxiety and depression because I think the Bible actually has a lot to say. Maybe we just haven't seen it before. Maybe we haven't thought about it this way. But I personally believe the Bible absolutely applies to our life today. I believe there's nothing we're going to face in this life where the Bible doesn't have a clear path forward for us. And so I want us to have an honest conversation because anxiety and depression has been something that I've really struggled with over the course of my years on this planet. And here's the thing, the more I've gone through life, the more I've discovered I wasn't the only one. And so what I want to tell you today is maybe you have joined us today and you are really thinking, I can't tell anybody that I'm struggling with anxiety and depression because, man, what will they think? What will people know if I really was honest and told them I thought about taking my life? What if I was really honest? What would people respond with if they know that I'm a Christian, but I am struggling with depression? I struggle to get out of the bed in the morning. I struggle. I come home and I just lay on the floor because I don't know what else to do. Like, what do I do with that? How can I be honest about that? And I think that's why so many of us, we end up not talking about it. And maybe as Christians, we don't really know what to say, so we don't ask about it. And we've just got this understanding that this is a subject that maybe we don't really broach. And the reason we have to go here today is because the enemy loves for people to live in isolation. The enemy would love nothing more than to drag you off by yourself and not have community around you. He would love nothing more than to have something go on in your life where you think this is something the Lord doesn't care about, or you've gone beyond his grace, or he doesn't want to move in your life anymore. He would love to have something happen in your life where you think you're less than. And see, here's the thing I believe is Jesus Christ died for every last one of us. At that moment when he got up on a cross, he said, I love you. Whether it's sin, whether it's anxiety, whether it's depression, I don't want you to be separated from God anymore. And so let's go there today. And the first question I want to ask, and this is going to feel a little bit different than a sermon, and I'll tell you a secret, because it is. We're not going to have a sermon today. And if I'm honest with you, it was bizarre because here's how, and I've been honest a little bit about how my schedule usually works to build a sermon, but on Mondays, I usually write an outline. Tuesday, finish the outline, get over to our worship team. Wednesday, I start going through it verbally, and Thursday, I catch up on anything I was behind on. But Monday, I sit down to go, okay, God, this is the message that this whole series was birthed for. This one is where we're going. What you got? Silence. And I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, funny joke. You want to create anxiety about the message on anxiety. Clever. I get it. That's fine. And usually stuff will just come to me as I pray throughout the day, and I'll be ready. But y'all, nothing. The day ends. I got nothing. And I'm like, God, I know you have something to say about this. This is why you led us to do this whole series, was to talk about this. Nothing. I'm driving to softball that night, And I feel like the Lord says, Philip, the reason you have nothing is you're trying to build this sermon like how you build every other sermon, but I want to do something different today. And I go, okay, great, I'm on board. What you got? Silence. You got to be kidding me. So I'm driving back from softball, and he says, I just want you to have a conversation. I want you to talk to them like you were talking right across a coffee table. Answer some basic questions. Tell them how the Bible absolutely applies to anxiety and depression. Don't preach about it. Don't teach about it. Just have an honest conversation. And so the first question that we're going to talk about is, are you a bad person or Christian if you're struggling with anxiety and depression? And so here's the thing. We can ask that question, and some of us may think, I'll give the churchy answer and say no. Or maybe the churchy answer to you is yes. But I'm here to tell you today, the answer is no. You're not a bad Christian or a bad person if you're struggling with anxiety and depression. You're not a bad person. If you've been here long enough, we did a message at the very beginning of this series called New Chair, New Me. Do you guys remember that if you were here? And one of the things we talked about in this series is there can be this spiritual life when you come to Jesus. There's this renewing of your soul. There's this part of you that's not physical anymore. It's not of this physical world. There's this new spiritual part of you. But even when you get saved, there still exists this physical side of you, right? We talked about how you, even after you get saved, you and I live in this flesh that wants to rebel against God. It wants to go do its own thing. It wants to be separated of you. And this is where I think sometimes as Christians, we get really confused what to do with mental health. Like, what do we do? Like, is that something I can't physically see? I can't put a Band-Aid on it. I can't, like, go to the doctor and they stitch it up. I don't know how to interact with mental health. But I'm here to tell you that we live in a body that's been broken by sin. And mental health can absolutely be a part of that. See, here's the thing is, when God created humanity in the garden, our bodies were not designed to interact with sin. They weren't created to interact with stress, anxiety, depression. It wasn't created to hold these kind of things. But now that our body is fallen, those things can absolutely come into our life. And so if you're a Christian, you go, how can I be struggling with suicidal thoughts, but I've got Holy Spirit inside of me? It's the same thing that could be happening inside of your body if you're struggling with an addiction, or you're struggling with anger, or you're struggling with, you know, not thinking very highly of yourself, self-esteem. It can be all of these things, but you can have Holy Spirit inside of you, but your flesh be rebelling against God. And it's why you can absolutely be following Jesus, but struggling with anxiety and depression. And I think, as if I'm honest with you, growing up in church a lot, I never heard people talk about this. And so when I started struggling with anxiety and depression, I was like, who in the world do I go to? Do I tell my pastor? Can I tell my friend? Like, I don't hear Christians talking about this, and I don't know what to do with this. And the enemy would love for you to live in isolation if you're struggling with that right now. And the first thing I want to say is you're not a bad person or Christian if you're struggling with anxiety and depression. And see, here's the thing we talked about. I just mentioned how there's the spiritual side of us as well, and there's the physical side of us. And I think as humans, we want things to be clear, cut, and dry, right? We like black and white. We don't like the gray areas. You guys know what I'm talking about. And what gets difficult with something like anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts is it's both. It's both. Studies are showing more and more that anxiety and depression physically affect your body. They physically affect how the neural pathways work in your mind. It physically changes who you are. But I truly believe there's a spiritual aspect to it as well. I truly believe the enemy is using anxiety and depression to try to create a divide between humanity and its Savior. And I think that's why it makes it difficult, because how do we handle it if it's both? Because a lot of times some of our answers to anxiety and depression is, I'm going to pray for you. And that's great, and you should. But sometimes inside the church world, I don't know if you've ever met a Christian who's totally against medicine, who goes, I never want you to take as much as an ibuprofen for your headache. Like, don't do it. And if that's you, that's okay. But what I'm going to ask you as a pastor is stop telling other people who need medicine. Because there's physically something wrong with them that a physical medicine can help. They're not a bad person for taking something to physically help them. But here's the flip side of that. If it's also a spiritual problem, don't expect a physical medicine to solve the spiritual aspect of it. And so as a church, I want to encourage you. It's okay to encourage people to take physical medicine to heal a physical problem. But we also as Christians have to understand it doesn't solve the spiritual side of it. I was listening to a pastor who opened up about his crippling anxiety and depression. It just shut him down as a human being. He would come home and just literally fall on the floor. He couldn't operate anymore. He couldn't sleep. If you struggle with anxiety, it's one of the things you can really deal with. You just stop sleeping. And it becomes this cyclical cycle. And then not only do you have anxiety about something else, you now have anxiety about sleeping because you can't sleep. And it's just this terrible cycle that just gets worse and worse. And the issue for the pastor was he was going so much. He was up at 6 a.m. doing meetings, 7 o'clock meetings in the morning, going all day, flying out to do conferences, coming back, teaching 5 sermons on the weekend. And he finally got to the point where he just couldn't sleep, he couldn't operate. And he's like, what's wrong with me? I'm highly successful, I'm going, I'm doing everything, but I can't function anymore. And he started trying to go into doctors and trying to figure out what's wrong. And finally someone figured out, after running tests, his body had gotten to the point where it hadn't stopped producing adrenaline. He was moving so quickly, so much, going so much that his body physically was reacting to the anxiety and depression where it just produced adrenaline to just keep going. But now he needed his body to turn it off to actually function and to sleep, and he couldn't do it. And he finally had to start taking medicine to block the adrenaline to try to let his body reset. And I wonder if we've ever thought about it this way, but I truly believe that the gateway drug to anxiety and depression is stress. It's stress. And it's one of the lies the enemy has tried to come in. He's going, your value comes from how much you do. And whether you know that you're believing that lie or not, it's going to affect how you live completely. You start believing, my value comes from how much I do. And if you believe that lie, you are going to run yourself into the ground. You're going to wake up one day and you're going, why do I feel this way? Why am I so empty, but so far ahead? Why am I struggling with this internal emptiness? And you're going to start to struggle with, man, like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Where did I go wrong? And then we start thinking, is anxiety and depression like really a new thing? Or has it been here for a while? And I want us to look at 1 Peter 5:7-8. 1 Peter 5:7-8. And verse 7 gets quoted a lot when it comes to anxiety because it's got the word anxiety in it. But I think verse 8 is important too. 1 Peter 5:7-8 says, cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. It's an interesting verse, and if you're struggling with anxiety, it's kind of encouraging. Okay, I can finally take this somewhere. I don't have to just hold this in all by myself. I can finally give this somewhere. But what's interesting about the context of 1 Peter 5:7 that I've never heard talked about was who it was written to. If you go back and look, if you're looking at your Bible or your Bible app, if you scroll up to the top, chapter 5 is going to tell you that it was written partially to the elders of the church. The author of this is telling the elders of the church, the people who were supposed to be the leaders of the church at the time, cast all your anxieties on him. It means the leaders of those church were struggling so much with anxiety that the author was like, look, you've got to let this go. You're holding this internally and it's not going to be good for you. Verse 8 talks about, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And the reason I had that up there is it's interesting he throws that in right after talking about anxiety. Because remember, I believe anxiety and depression has both a spiritual aspect to it, that the enemy's trying to do something, and a physical side to it. But the enemy's looking to devour. And I want to talk a little bit to the people who have never struggled with anxiety and depression. Because this message is also for you of how do you help other people who are struggling with anxiety and depression, right? I want to talk to the people who you've never struggled with it and someone maybe has opened up about anxiety and depression and you're looking at them like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like everything you just said makes literally no sense to me. And I can tell you, the person who's opening up about anxiety and depression can sense that, and they're getting more anxiety and depression about you not understanding anything they're talking about, right? You ever been, everyone on this out here has probably had some aspect of that conversation. But the word devour stuck out to me because I remember when I was struggling, it was about 4 years ago, where I was really struggling with anxiety and depression. I remember my wife took me on a walk out in our neighborhood. Our neighborhood had like 1,500 homes in it. It was absurd. It was like the size of Union County. It was ridiculous. Okay, so we have all these like parks and walkways, and we're just walking around, and she's like trying to connect and understand how Philip, who she married and who she knows, has now gotten to this place where it's just like a shell of himself. Like, and she's trying to understand, she's trying to love, she's trying to connect, because she knows this is not the healthy version of Philip. And I remember trying to explain to her what I'm going through, and the best I could come up with was just, I feel like I'm existing but not living. Because after I had dealt with anxiety and depression for so long, it felt like something on the inside had slowly eaten away at who I was until there really wasn't anything internally left. And some of the people who've struggled with anxiety and depression can kind of get what I'm saying. It feels like something inside of you is gone. But to someone like Kaylin, who's never struggled with it, she's like, that makes no logical sense. I'll write it down, I'll read through it, but I don't know what that is. But the enemy roams around looking for someone to devour. And when I read that, I was like, man, that sounds so much like what I've been through. That sounds so much like the anxiety and depression that's slowly just eating away on the inside and trying to take away this plan that God has for my life and your life. Because here's the thing, when I also struggled with suicidal thoughts, I've been open about that. In high school, I picked up a knife 2 different times to kill myself. And the second time I picked up my knife, or the first time I picked up the knife, I said, I can't kill myself. I'm going to hurt my friends. I understand the pain that I'm going through. I'm just going to pass to other people, and that's selfish. I can't do that. But later on, I picked up the knife, and I said, other people are just going to have to understand. And I went to kill myself, and God spoke into my life right at that moment, and it should have freaked me out because I never had it really happen before. But he said, I've got a plan for your life. And for whatever reason, that worked. Maybe because he's the God of the universe and he knows how to speak to me in a way that I'll hear it. Could be. But he spoke in my life, and whatever reason that worked, and maybe that's you right now, and you're struggling with suicidal thoughts, and the pain you just feel like is too great. You just want it to end. And I'm here to tell you, what God said in my life is true for everybody. If you go look at Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you. See, God wasn't just saying something because Philip's special. He's not saying something different because Philip's, you know, unique, and he's got a plan for my life and he doesn't have a plan for your life. I'm here to tell you, according to the word of God, he has a plan for your life. We've talked about this a lot. And I know right now, as someone who's struggling with anxiety and depression, you can hear those words and try to write them off. You can hear those words and they feel like they just bounce off you. You feel like you hear those words and maybe they don't resonate, but I'm here to tell you that is truth. Because here's the thing, that when you struggle with anxiety and depression, is what you feel may be real, but it doesn't make it true. What you feel is real, but it doesn't make it true. And so I felt like I had to end things. But God said, no, I've got a plan for you. But here's the thing I want to encourage you. If you're struggling with depression and anxiety, or maybe you are thinking about ending your life, I want to tell you, don't give up. Because if you go read after Jeremiah 29:11, and it says God's got a plan for your life, he says you'll find it when you seek him with all of your heart. You just read 2 more verses after that. And I want to tell you that anxiety and depression, a lot of times it doesn't end overnight. It doesn't. I've struggled with it for years off and on. It's something I've got to be aware of my personality type, the way I receive it. I seem to be an open door for anxiety to stand up, you know, just come on in my life. I don't know if I got like big neon signs that say, anxiety, please come this way. Like, I don't know, but it just seems to find me. You know what I'm saying? I am losing the game of hide and seek with anxiety half the time of my life. But even though that it can come back, and even though you can struggle with it, I want to tell you, don't give up hope. As someone who can get up on a platform and talk about this now, this is not where I was 4+ years ago. As someone who can get up and talk about this, this isn't where I was, you know, 15 years ago. God's got a plan for your life. Don't give up on it. Don't believe the lie from the enemy who's trying to use anxiety and depression to get you to that point where he wants you to end your life. That's exactly what the enemy wants. He absolutely wants you to believe that you ending your life will not only end your pain, but it'll be good for everybody else. And that's such a lie. That's such a lie. It will be good for nobody. People will miss you. You will make people brokenhearted. People who love you and care about you, even the enemy who's tried to tell you that they won't miss you, that's such a lie. You're not a burden to other people. They care about you. Even if they haven't been able to express it and show it, then maybe the way you receive it, they do. I want to talk about how can you move forward if you're struggling with anxiety and depression. Because this is a big thing. If anxiety and depression just kind of buries you to the point where you just stop moving, how can you move forward? And here's something we need to talk about as a church. And I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the American church. Licensed Christian counseling is a good thing. I know, Christianity's had this hard time of figuring out what to do with counseling. Is it okay? Do we talk about it? Do we tell people not to have it? I just want to be really honest. I'm a huge proponent of licensed Christian counseling. If you come talk to me and I start to sense that maybe you're where you're at is deeper than what I can offer you as a pastor, I'm going to go ahead and tell you exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you I think you need to see a licensed Christian counselor. And I'm not passing you off, but I'm just like, you need a level of care and support that I can't offer you on that level. And so here's the thing, if we go back to that first message, when we start talking about new chair, new me, and there's a physical side of us and a spiritual side of us, and we understand what John 14 talks to us about. If you go read John 14, one of the things Jesus says is, I've come to this world, and he's offering us a peace, and the world can't take it away. If you go read John 14, it's there, I promise. But here's the thing, if Jesus has come to bring peace, and the biblical definition of peace is wholeness with God. And I can tell you, as someone who struggled with anxiety and depression, when I was dealing with that, I did not feel our experience being whole with God. That's why I believe it's absolutely got a spiritual aspect to it of trying to divide humanity from their creator. It's why I'm a huge proponent of licensed Christian counseling, because a licensed Christian counselor is going to try to give you tools to work through the anxiety and depression to become whole again with God. I don't think we need to try to push people away from counseling. I think we need to see it as an opportunity for people to get whole with God again. And if you're here at Vertical Church, I can tell you that's exactly what we want for you. We want you to be whole with God. We don't want things separating you from God. We don't want you to not experience the plans and purposes he has for you. Because here's the other thing, we believe you're a leader. We believe you have the opportunity to go influence the world around you, and the enemy is going to try to do whatever he can to not have you experience that. So I'm just going to tell you, huge proponent of licensed Christian counseling. The second thing you're going to do if you want to move forward when you're dealing with anxiety and depression is you've got to be 100% honest about where you're at with somebody. I don't know if you've experienced this in the American church, but you've ever had a hesitancy to be honest with somebody? Come on, y'all can tell me yes. A little bit, okay? You've ever had that a little bit? I don't know what it is about other Christians. Sometimes we'll be 100% honest with somebody that we know doesn't follow Jesus at all, but all of a sudden sounds like, yeah, I'm a Christian. You're like, oh, let me put on my best face forward for you. Let me not be real whatsoever. Let me give you my best Instagram picture, you know, like whatever it is. But we almost got to like put on a little bit of a front for people. It's plaguing Christianity. Because if anybody should just be honest and real about where we're at, it should be Christians. And if you want a chance to move forward out of the crippling weight of anxiety and depression, you've got to find someone to be 100% honest with. Of like, hey, my anxiety, I can't even function anymore. Like, I just get home and I hit the floor and that's where I stay until the next day, and somehow I end up in my car and back at work. That's all I got. I don't know. You open up with somebody, hey, I sometimes lay awake at night and I think about killing myself. I'm not telling you to go put that on Instagram or social media or like whatever, but I'm saying you've got to find somebody to be 100% honest with. Because here's what the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1. It talks about the power of light and dark. And basically, to summarize it, it talks about unhealthy things grow in the dark. Unhealthy things grow in the dark. But if you want healing to take place, you've got to move to the light. It even talks about if you're not willing to move to the light and to be honest and to confess things that are going on in your life, you make Jesus out to be a liar. The scripture tells us it's okay to be honest about the things that are plaguing us. You actually, if you want full healing, you have to go be honest with somebody. It's why for some of you, the only person maybe you'll feel comfortable being 100% honest with is a counselor. Someone that's not a family member, not a friend, whatever. If that's the one person you can go be 100% honest with, you need to. But I encourage you, maybe that is a friend. Maybe that is a spouse. Maybe it is a family member where you can go, this is exactly where I'm at. I'm hurting, I'm in pain, I'm struggling, and I need somebody to be in my corner. Because there is something that is healing about finally bearing your soul to somebody. And maybe that's one of the things that are holding you back. It's hard to be 100% honest. Third thing I want to talk about is the flip side. You're somebody that hasn't struggled with anxiety and depression. And you're struggling with, how do I interact with that person I know that's really struggling? How do I really help them? How do I engage with them when I don't understand what they're going through? Maybe you've been there. You tried having a conversation with your family member or friend or whoever, and you're trying to understand what they're going through, but you just can't. You can't relate. I want to talk to you because I want to give you some helpful tools. The first thing is, it's okay that you don't understand. I just want to go ahead and tell you, it's okay that you don't understand. Quite honestly, if anyone's experienced anxiety and depression, we don't really want you to understand because we're like, man, this is awful. I don't want you to go through this. It's okay that you understand. You shouldn't, and just because you don't understand doesn't mean you should shy away from the conversation. And so what I want to tell you, if you haven't ever dealt with it but you're trying to encourage someone, here's what I'm going to tell you. You don't have to be the hero. You don't have to be the hero when trying to work with somebody that's struggling with anxiety and depression. We don't need you to be the hero. But we need you to be able to listen, and we need you to be able to care. I would tell you that one thing that'd be incredibly helpful for you to know is who you can refer them to. Because there's people who are trained to work with those of us who have struggled with anxiety and depression. So if you don't have never dealt with it, don't understand it, I would encourage you, go look up licensed Christian counseling and know somebody you can refer them to. If you're struggling with that, how do I even begin to look? I'll go ahead and tell you, as a church, go to our resources page on our website. We list out multiple people. You can come up to me at any point, and I can tell you, after listening to you, yeah, we've got options for you in Cleveland, Georgia, or Cumming, Georgia, or Cartersville, Georgia. We got options for you to see licensed Christian counselors. And I think there's just this stigma about counseling. So you guys know me. I've been a little honest from the pulpit once or twice, right? Have you guys been here long enough for this to happen? I've been in counseling for like 7+ months. If you've been at this church long enough, you know that there was a season of our church that was extremely difficult. I was the associate pastor, and things just changed really quickly for us. I went from being the associate pastor to the interim pastor, and it was not something I planned for. It kind of split me in half as a human being, if I'm honest with you. I had like leader side of me that had to go into crisis mode and like get things done, like to make sure that everything about this church stayed going and moving. There was this part of me that just went into like a focused leader mode. But there was this other part of me, the human part of me, that was just broken. And I didn't really know what to do with it. And so I kind of just set it to the side for a while and said, I'll just kind of come back to this at some point because I don't really know what to do. And luckily, when you're in crisis, you don't always have a lot of time to think sometimes. So you just go and you go and you go. But then the moment came finally where we're not in a crisis anymore. And we're healthy as a church and we're moving forward. But then when that crisis starts to go away, I'm still left with this part of me that's never really healed. And I realized I wasn't able to handle things with a capacity or really to function at the high level leader I wanted to be. There was a part of me that was still just not fully there. And I finally said, I have to deal with this. I have to do something with this because it's holding me back from being everything God wants me to be. And I was struggling with it. If I'm just honest with you, being a senior pastor, I'm like, man, like, I'm supposed to be the one that helps people walk through things. I don't need to be the one that's walking through it with a counselor. Like, I struggle with that. And I was listening to two different people that I really look up to. They mentor me from afar. If you go talk to them, they have no idea who Philip Kite is. But it's Craig Rochelle and Carrie Newhoff, two highly respected people inside the church world as far as pastors go. And for whatever reason, they both opened up about how they just continually go to counseling. It's just something they do. It's on their schedule. Whether they're on top of the world or things are literally falling apart, every month they go in and they talk to their counselor. And after hearing that, I felt such a freedom that it was okay to go. And maybe you have shown up today and the only thing you get out of today is it's okay to go. It's okay to go talk to a counselor, a licensed Christian counselor. But I've been in there for about 7 months, and I'm just going to be honest with you, I'm probably always going to go. Because here's the thing about my job. It's not going to get any less stressful. You know? Like, if I really want to be the pastor I want to be for you, but most importantly for the Lord, stress is not something that's going away in my job. And I'm not upset about that. Like, I really want to be the best pastor I possibly can for you. And that means I'm gonna be around when you're going through hard things. It means I'm going to have to face tough decisions. It means every time I'm going to work with people that are going through hard things because I want to. Like, I don't want to be this pastor that's unavailable. But because of that, there is going to be stress. And I've watched too many leaders who just, they don't make it because of stress. I've watched too many leaders where stress is the gateway drug to anxiety and depression, and they never deal with it and they don't come back. And so just be honest, I'm probably going to counseling the rest of my life just to make sure I always deal with stress in a healthy way. And I don't wake up one day and go, I'm dealing with this in a very unhealthy way. And I want to encourage you, maybe that's you right now. Maybe you're dealing with your stress in a really unhealthy way. You know, it's not honoring to God. It's not where you need to be. And I want to encourage you, it's okay to go be honest with someone because that's not God's best for you. The things this world constantly offers to try to help you take away your stress and your anxiety and depression, they're not what Jesus offers. Jesus meant it in John 14 when he talks about he gives a peace that the world can't take away. And it's to be whole with God. And anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts, that's not God's best for you. It's not God's best for me. But in order to kind of deal with that and to move forward, we've got to be able to have an open, honest conversation with somebody finally about it. And I really encourage you to do a licensed Christian counselor because they're going to have tools to help you move forward, to go be what God created you to be. And so the worship team wants to come up. The same thing to do if you're struggling to engage and encourage someone who's struggling with anxiety and depression is you need to pray. And I know this sounds really cliche to say as a pastor, but like, I mean it. I believe in the power of prayer. And I believe there's very much a spiritual aspect to anxiety and depression. I very much believe it's something the enemy is trying to use. I believe it's partly spiritual warfare. And I don't say that to freak some of you guys out, but I really believe he's trying to divide humanity from its creator. And anxiety and depression is one of his most lethal tools he's using in our country right now. And I pray that you will begin to pray for those chains and bondages to break. I pray that the schemes of the enemy will start to just completely fail in this country. That dragging people away into anxiety and depression will no longer work in humanity. Like, I don't say those things. I believe they can happen, but we have to ask. We have to pray. We have to seek. I believe you can absolutely pray for those family members or friends who are struggling with anxiety and depression, that the schemes of the enemy will fall on their face, that chains will break at the presence of God moving in their life. Don't give up on praying with people who are struggling. And the third thing is don't leave people in isolation. If you know someone struggling with anxiety and depression, you don't have to have all the answers, but you need to know, they need to know that you care. And so just being there, being willing to listen, being willing to encourage, being willing to say that you don't have all the answers, but there's no way they're walking forward alone, it means a lot. Because people who struggle with anxiety and depression, they think everybody doesn't care anymore. They really do start to struggle with, this world will be better off without me. And as Christians, are we not supposed to be ambassadors of the gospel? The gospel where Jesus showed up and said, I don't want to leave humanity on its own. John 3 talks about this. I didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's the ambassador we're for. Jesus, who's come to save the world. You don't have to have all the answers if you're walking with somebody who's struggling with anxiety and depression. But you are called as a Christian to make sure they don't walk alone. So can we be a church who maybe now feels a little bit empowered to go deal with the conversation about anxiety and depression? To feel like it's not a conversation we need to avoid anymore. It's actually a conversation we need to start having with the world around us because it's on the rise. And if the American church cannot figure out a way to engage on this conversation in a healthy way, it will continue to run rampant. I can tell you, if you go study history, it happens all the time where things begin to run rampant in this country when the American church has no understanding of how to engage in a healthy way. A lot of times our answer to things is, it's a sin. Don't do it. Well, guys, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, that's not helpful to the conversation. It's not helpful to the conversation because here's the thing, that's not the gospel. The whole gospel would be, things are a sin, but there is a Savior who cares enough for you. But for far too long, the American church has just been known for telling people what a sin is without actually giving them a clear path forward to salvation. That's not the gospel. And so as we start to look around at a society who's really dealing with anxiety and depression and understanding an enemy wants to drag them away to isolation, can we be a group of people who goes, I understand the gospel that Jesus loves that person, that he has a plan for their life, and I want to help them seek the Lord with all of their heart. I'll give people who are struggling with anxiety and depression the best that I've got. And that doesn't mean going to be the hero. That's not what they're looking for. But it means to go on, I'm going to care. I'm going to support. I may help you find a Christian counselor. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to be here. But I think it's time where the American church finally looks at something hard and difficult and says, we need to have a conversation about this. And we need to understand how the Bible absolutely applies to this situation. Anxiety and depression is not God's best for you. He's got a plan for you, and it's full of hope, and it's to prosper. The isolation that you're feeling just drug away to is not of the Lord. So right now, I just pray in the name of Jesus that if you're struggling with anxiety or depression, our suicidal thoughts, that by the grace of God, chains will break, bondages will fall, walls the enemy has built will crumble in a moment at the presence of Jesus in your life. I pray that if you've been struggling to interact with someone that's struggling with anxiety and depression, that you'll be granted wisdom and grace to encourage them and make sure that isolation is not what's going to happen in their life. Because you may not have all the answers, but you can love and you can care and you can be there to explain. You're not alone in this. And maybe after what we've talked about today, you want somebody to pray with you. Your heart's breaking for a family member or a friend that you love and you know they're struggling right now. And you say, Philip, will you just pray with me? I'll be off to the side, or if you're on Hiawassee, Pastor Chris will be up front. Maybe you're personally struggling with anxiety, depression. You say, Philip, will you pray with me? You absolutely better believe I will. As somebody who has really struggled with anxiety and depression over the years, I will absolutely pray with you because I know it's not God's best for you. That he's got a plan and purpose for your life. It's to bring peace where we can be whole with God. So Holy Spirit, won't you grant us wisdom to not let the enemy run rampant with anxiety and depression, but to help us share the gospel that there is a Lord and Savior named Jesus Christ that loves us, will meet us right where we are at, and loves us enough to make sure we don't stay there. So Holy Spirit, won't you come? Won't you lead us? Won't you guide us? And to everything that Jesus has for us. In your name we pray. Amen.